Now that you're thoroughly confused with what I said, I have created to send out in this mailing a new calendar chart. So let's look at it. It's easier to follow. We have the creation week. And on day 4, God set the earth, moon, and sun for appointed times. So that occurred on the 4th day of the week. Now then, at that moment when they were set, the Passover day of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was also set, because this day was chosen from the foundation of the world. Now when we come to Nisan 30 AD, the month in which Jesus was crucified on the Passover. That year, the Passover was in the middle of the week, the 14th day of the first month, being Nisan, day 4. So you see how that follows. Now let's come back to Nisan 10, and we're going to do 2 counts to the Passover, because on Nisan 10, the selection of the Passover lamb occurred. And we covered that in John, the 12th chapter. Now let's count the days in the circle, which is the actual count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now then, the lambs were slain right after sunset of the 13th. So that's 4 days. Passover day in this case was not included in the count. Now, let's look at the time from when Jesus was put into the tomb on the 15th at the beginning. Again, let's look at the circled number on the 15th of Nisan, down in the lower left-hand corner of the square for the day. It is listed as actual count. So we go 1, 2, 3, 4 days. Follow along the lower left-hand corner. So here we have 4 days leading up to the Passover, 4 days after the Passover. 4 plus 4 equals 8. Or you can have 2 times 4 equals 8. And 8 is the number of a new beginning. Now, as you will see, there are some other numbers here. In the lower right-hand corner, let's come back to Nisan 10. We have the number 1 in a square. This is the grace count, which does include the Passover day. So now let's follow along with the square, beginning with Nisan 10 as 1. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 is the number. 5 equals grace. Now we find in Hebrews 2:9, that Christ tasted death for everyone by the grace of God. So that's how we get 5. The number of grace falls on the Passover day. Now, please look at the numbers in the triangle. Number 1 begins with the Passover day, so this is a grace count to Christ's presentation to the Father as the perfect sacrifice. This also includes the Passover day. So we go 1, 2, 3, 4, and on the wave sheaf offering day, we have number 5. So we have 2 sets of grace involved with the sacrifice death, the resurrection, and presentation of Christ. Now, grace, we find Romans 4, verses 24 and 25, and Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. So here we have double grace. Grace, grace. Now, we have one place in the Bible that refers to Christ and his work through his Spirit as grace, grace. Zechariah 4 and verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone with shouting, grace, grace unto it. Now that's symbolic of bringing the grace of God in the New Testament. And also finishes with the two witnesses. Now, let's look at some other numbers concerning counting to Pentecost. And we find it very interesting here. All right. What I put on this chart is the seventh week of the count to Pentecost. And I want you to look at it very carefully, okay? We have day 49, which then completes the seventh week. And Pentecost is the day after the seventh Sabbath. And the seventh Sabbath is day 49. So we have Pentecost, which is day 50. Now, it's very interesting that the number 8 falls double, because Pentecost is the 8th day after the 7th Sabbath. So you have day 7, day 1, so that's the 8th day. Also, on the calculated Hebrew calendar, it is a double 8, because when the Passover falls in the middle of the week, as it did in the week that Jesus was crucified, then Pentecost, properly counted, falls on Sivan 8. So we have 8-8. Now, isn't it interesting? When did the New Testament church receive the Holy Spirit and begin? On the day of Pentecost. And since number 8 is a new beginning, and the church began on Pentecost, this is the new beginning of the new covenant with the church. Now, also interesting that we have Sivan 8 is 2 times 4. So that brings us back to leading up to and after the Passover, 4. And then we have 5, which is grace, times 10 equals 50. So here we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, on Sivan 8, to begin the New Testament church. Now, these numbers cannot be formulated any other way than on the calculated Hebrew calendar and the seven-day week and with the Passover in the middle of the week. None of these numbers work with the Passover on any other day. Therefore, since 31 AD did not have a middle of the week Passover, that's not the year. And since 33 AD, where Orthodox Christianity counts from, is Good Friday, because there was a Friday Passover that year. Therefore, none of these numbers work except at the time that was predetermined that Jesus would die for the sin of the world. Now, maybe this will help you appreciate more why we need to follow and use the calculated Hebrew calendar. So I hope that this new chart that I made for this sermon will help clear up any questions that you may have and the number sequencing that I have brought out.
Because they had to keep it 4 whole days. Then, that's when they killed the Passover lamb, at the beginning of the Passover day. All right?
Which is the night of the 13th?
No, night begins the 14th. So sunset comes, ends the 13th, and then after the sunset has gone below the horizon, then you're in the between the two evenings on the 14th. That begins the 14th. Okay? So you keep it 4 days. Okay? Now, let's come to John, the 12th chapter. And if you have the Harmony of the Gospels, you can find it there. The chronology that, yes, Jesus was also declared by the Father on that day by a special act that God did. Okay? Now, let's pick it up here. Chapter 12. And let's pick it up, verse 23. John 12, verse 23, okay? But Jesus answered them when they wanted to see Jesus, saying, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now, what was the first thing to start that? Being selected by the Father as the Passover lamb. Now, he explains it this way, which is also very interesting. He never calls himself the Lamb of God. John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God. But notice how he explains it for himself here. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The one who loves his life shall lose it. The one who hates his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If anyone will serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me, him shall my Father honor." Now, verse 27. "Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this very purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." That's when Jesus was selected on the 10th of Nisan. Okay? Got that? "Then the people standing there who heard it said it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. And Jesus answered and said, 'This voice did not come because of me, but because of you.'" That is, so you would know. Now, they wouldn't know that he was being selected for the Passover lamb at that point, but they could look back and reflect upon it and then understand it. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world is to be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all to me." But he said this to signify by what death he was about to die. So that's when he was selected by God for this voice, glorifying you. Okay? Now, let's look at the number 4 again. Come to page number 11 in the Bible, where we talk about God's divine design of the Holy Bible and its numeric connection. Because we're going to see some very interesting things here which substantiate what we've already covered. Now, page 11, not the italicized page numbers, but the regular page number. Page 11. Page 11. Now, this, we have there listed all the important numbers of God. Now, we did a sermon or two on the numbers of God, and when I have time, I'll fill in with some other sermons and cover some of the other numbers. But let's look at number 4 on page 11, the meaning of number 4. All right? Number 4, the number of creation which marks God's creative works. It is the signature of the world. The material creation was finished on the fourth day, that is, in preparation for life, with the sun, moon, and stars ordained for four things: signs, seasons, days, and years. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, was given to man at creation. The four accounts of Jesus' life and ministry, Matthew, the son of David and king, Mark, the suffering servant, Luke, the perfect man, John, the only begotten son of God. Isn't that interesting? Now, let's talk about witnesses here for just a minute, and we'll see something very, very interesting. God says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. That's why you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's three. But then there was another witness that had to be given showing a greater spiritual work as to who Jesus really was. And this was given by John. Now, you can read it in John 21, that there were probably with him Andrew and Philip and Mark. Let's go to John 21, because this is something here. John 21, because again, even in this single book, we have at least three witnesses, okay? Now, we can't identify. Well, we have at least four, but we can't identify three. All right, since we're here, John 21, John 20 is just across the page. Now, what I want you to do is go to the last verse in John 20, verse 31. And this is the first ending of the Gospel of John. Verse 21 was added after Peter had died, so Peter wouldn't be embarrassed by what John wrote here. Read verse 31, John 20. But these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have eternal life through his name. Perfect ending, right? Okay. But there were other things that John put into the book, his gospel, and he added chapter 21. So come here to chapter 21. All right. Verse 24. Now let's read this. And this disciple testifies concerning these things, and who wrote these things. Now look at the next sentence. And we, notice it goes from this, the disciple, this is the disciple, and we know that his testimony is true. Those could only be Matthew and Philip and Mark. So again, it follows through. We have three synoptic gospels plus John, which is four. Four witnesses. Now, for the Gospel of John, we have one being John, and three others, making a total of four. So you see how number four relates to the Gospels. And number four relates also to the Passover, because it's the fourth day of the week on which he was crucified. And they kept the lamb for 4 days. All right? Now, let's look at some other numbers here, which are very interesting. Now, if you would please go to page 1280 in the Bible. And here we're going to look at a chart. This will make it much easier. And then we can go back to the calendar that we have there, page 1280. Now, you see, everything that we have in the Holy Bible in its original order is designed to help people understand how to come out of Protestantism and Catholicism, that is, i.e., the Christianity of this world, and to know the truth that every word of God is true. Now, here on page 1280 and page 1281, we have 3 days and three nights in the tomb and the resurrection after 3 days and three nights. Now, look at the days across the top. The fifth day of the week, now that coincides with the chart, this blank calendar that I gave you. Okay? Now, so what we need to do is this. We have it very clearly laid out. This is why the Passover had to be on the fourth day of the week, in the middle of the week, in the year that Jesus died, and all the chronologies that you will see we have an appendix here, but in the coming book, Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah, 30 AD is the only year that Jesus could have been crucified, because you have to have the sequence of days. Okay? Now, we have here, to the left side of this chart, we have the Passover day, and we have Jesus dies at the ninth hour Hebrew time, 3 p.m. Roman time. Then Jesus is buried and the tomb sealed just before sunset. Okay? Now, look at the chart. It's easy to follow. Where there are the black squares, those indicate the nights. Okay? Where there are the white squares, they indicate the day. So we have nice and 15. Remember, every day begins at sunset. So we have the first night in the tomb, the first day in the tomb, which was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Isn't that interesting? Spiritually speaking, during the days of unleavened bread, leaven is a type of sin. Jesus died for the sins of the world, and he was put into the tomb and began the first night in the tomb as that sacrifice. And he had to be in the tomb 3 nights and 3 days. So we have it here. Okay? Now also, this shows something very important concerning the chronology of the things that took place. Day 5, nice and 15, is a holy day. First day of unleavened bread. So that means the day portion of the 14th was a preparation for that day. Now, nice and 15 comes to an end at sunset, and it begins nice and 16 at sunset, and he is spending his second night in the tomb. That day is the preparation for the weekly Sabbath. So when you carefully read in the harmony of the gospel the sequence of events, it's very obvious there were two Sabbaths in that week. One a holy day, the other the weekly Sabbath. So here, the 16th of Nisan, you have the second night in the tomb, the second day in the tomb. Then you come to the weekly Sabbath. The third day after Passover, 1, 2, 3. Interesting. Okay? Now, you have the third night and the third day. Now, on the section that says the third day, the resurrection just before sunset. So Jesus was 3 days and three nights exactly in the heart of the earth. Now, as a spirit being, Jesus did not need to have the stone rolled away to get out of the tomb. Now, we cover that in the commentary here, so you can read that. Now, that night, beginning the fourth day, isn't that interesting? Day number 4 comes up again, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. Okay. He probably spent the night in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to God. Then, on the day portion, he meets the two disciples and talks to them. But that was after he ascended to heaven to be accepted of the Father. Now, this becomes very important. Look at what we have. Now, take out the calendar chart that I gave you. All right? Now, we have this sequence. We have nice and 15 is day 1. Nice and 16 is day 2. Nice and 17 is day 3. 3 days and 3 nights. All right? Now, nice and 18, what did Jesus do on that day? He ascended to the Father, did he not? Yes, he did. On the 4th day as the perfect sacrifice. So we've got 4 for the day he was crucified on, 4 days before the Passover he was selected, 4 days after the Passover he ascended to the Father to be accepted. Right? Yes. All right. Now, the 18th is the first day of the week, is it not? Yes, it is. What day is that day? That's the wave sheaf offering day, correct? Yes, it is. So then you count 7 weeks. Now, we don't have the chart here, but let's just, I'll put it, I'll expand the chart out when I mail this out with the mailing, so we'll assume there's a chart here. Okay. There are 7 weeks to the harvest. Each week was to be a complete week ending in a Sabbath. There were to be 7 Sabbaths. Now, how much is 7 times 7? 49. Okay. They were to number 50 days on the day after the 7th Sabbath. Okay. Now, I want you to think about this. Okay. Jesus began the harvest. He likened himself to a grain of wheat, did he not? Yes, he did. Pentecost is the end of the harvest, and that's when the first resurrection takes place. Now, let's look at something also very interesting here. On the last week, the 7th week, you have 7 days. The 50th day is a Sunday, first day of the week. Now, that is the 8th day when you count just the 7 days of the last week, and then the next day you have 8 days. 8 is the number of a new beginning. Now, what do we have with the Passover? What do we have with Jesus? Okay? The 10th day he was selected, on the 18th day, or 8th day, because he had to go through the crucifixion and everything, he ascended to the Father. What's going to happen on the Pentecost when the saints are resurrected on that day? We're going to what? We're going to ascend to the sea of glass. So you see the parallels there. I mean, these things get really exciting when you start getting these numbers and putting them together. But what I wanted you to do is to see how God uses these numbers and follows through. That's why it could never have been that Jesus was crucified on a Friday and rose on a Sunday. All right? Just look at this chart that we have here. Okay? On page 281. Now, this year, we have the Passover on a Friday. So it'll be very easy to figure out that Jesus was not crucified in a week where the Passover was on a Friday. So we have to do double duty with the calendar here on page 281. Okay? 1281. Yes, add 1,000 to that. See, when it gets beyond 4, it's too much for me. Okay. So, if he were crucified on a Friday, okay, we have to come back here to day 6, nice and 16, on the chart, page 280. Okay? 1280. Now, if you were 1280 years old, you would appreciate the 1,000 being dropped off, then, wouldn't you? Okay. So what do you have? You have one night, one day. Then you have the weekly Sabbath, two night, 2 days, and he's resurrected Sunday morning. So there is no way. See, actually, it's less than that, because he was not put into the tomb at the beginning of Friday, the way that the sequence would fall. It would have to be at the ending of Friday, day six. So he would only have Sabbath night in the tomb, Sabbath day in the tomb, and then resurrected Sunday morning. So then that would have been Sabbath night. So we have two nights and one day. How does that equate to 3 days and three nights? You can't do it. So therefore, it had to be when the Passover was the fourth day of the week, in the middle of the week, in order for all of these things to come out this way. It had to be that he was dead 3 days and three nights, resurrected from the dead, and then after 3 days and three nights, he walked out of the tomb. He was gone. Okay? Now, let's come back here to Matthew, the 12th chapter, because we're going to see something very important. This is why the world will never understand. Number one, they're blinded because they don't obey and they don't believe. And they can never figure it out if they don't use the calculated Hebrew calendar. If they use Matthew 12, okay, if they use the Roman calendar and use Easter as a benchmark, you lose all the significance of everything that Jesus did. And that's what was wrong with Mel Gibson's book. That's why he did it. He didn't even name the day, which then was the day chosen from the foundation of the world, which then the days were set in motion on the fourth day of the week. The Passover that Jesus died on was the fourth day of the week. So he could have 4 days before the Passover day and 4 days after, a total of 8, who he ascended to the Father. Now, the Bible tells us that all scripture is God-breathed. The Bible tells us God cannot lie. Do you suppose that he would choose men who would lie to write a witness account of him? Well, even if he did, look at what he did to Balaam. Balaam wanted to curse, but God made him bless. See? So God chose holy men who were moved by the Spirit of God, not to write their own things. He didn't have this go by oral tradition for 200 years before anything was written down. That's why we have all the commentary in the front of the book. When was the Bible written? When was the Old Testament canonized? When was the New Testament written? When was it canonized? How did it get all scrambled eggs in its assembly by Jerome? Okay? Now, as we have seen in some of the things, even a phrase from the New Testament helps us to understand prophecy, right? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Not says they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. There's nothing wrong with marrying. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. So the key is not what they were doing in eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. The key was they became so evil that God had to destroy them all. Why? Can't understand it till we come to the age we're living in and we see what man is doing now. And Jesus says, as it was. so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So as it is now, we can look back and say, they were doing it back then. Now, let's look at this. All right? Let's come here to Matthew 12, and let's pick it up here in verse 36. Matthew 12 and verse 36. But I say to you, for every idle word that men may speak, they shall be held accountable in the day of judgment. Now, how's that going to happen? Well, recorded on your spirit of man is everything you have ever lived through. Every word you have ever spoken. That's why there's repentance and forgetfulness, you see. Okay? So for God, this is not a hard thing. He doesn't need to have 10 million angels up there keeping track, you know, who said what. See? He's got it all recorded on the spirit of man. Okay? The question is, how does that apply to converted people? God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Okay? He forgives us and he forgets our sins and iniquities. All right? That's God's judgment. His judgment is, well, it's not there. But for this evil generation, he's telling them in so many words, you guys have been plotting against me, wanting to kill me, and you're going to have to give account for it, even every idle word. All right. For by your words you shall be justified, and if you repent, you receive justification through forgiveness. And by your words you shall be condemned if you don't repent. See? Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we desire to see a sign from you. And he answered and said to them, A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as, all right, same thing we talked about the days of Noah. Just as Noah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, in like manner, in the same way, the Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. Since every word is God-breathed, and this is God in the flesh spoken, can't get it any more God-breathed than that, can you? When you speak, you breathe, correct? Now, if you don't believe this, you don't believe Jesus. And if you don't have the calculated Hebrew calendar, you don't know how to figure it. And a Friday crucifixion and a Sunday morning resurrection can never give you 3 days and 3 nights, 2 nights and 1 day. Now, you would even flunk kindergarten with that kind of math, wouldn't you? See? But these are the great scholars to show you how blinded they are. I read the account how they try and figure 3 days and 3 nights. You know when the first night occurred? When darkness covered the earth from noon till 3 p.m. That was the first night. But Jesus wasn't even off the cross yet. He wasn't in the tomb. So you can't count that as at night. But it just shows how they won't believe God, so they come up with all of these inane theories and arguments to try and justify 2 nights and 1 day. Well, we've got all the commentary here in the book. We have it in the Harmony of the Gospels. And this is an easier read for the Passover. Now, the Passover book, let me tell you how important this day is, and we'll end with this. Satan the devil does not want anyone to be in covenant with God. Why? Because they will receive eternal life. What is the covenant day for the new covenant? The 14th day of the first month, Nisan. Okay? We are to take the Passover same time Jesus did, in the same way that he commanded it. The foot washing, the breaking of the bread, drinking of the wine, and then the words of the new covenant, which are Matthew, not Matthew, but John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Okay? If we love God, have His Spirit, renew the new covenant on the Passover night for those who are baptized, and those are the only ones who can take the Passover. You must have the Spirit of God. Then you will receive eternal life if you're faithful to the end. So Satan knows this day is of paramount importance because it was selected from the foundation of the world. So he wants to do everything within his lying power to try and get people away from keeping the correct Passover at the correct time to be in new covenant relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Therefore, they have, instead of the Passover, they have communion. They have the Eucharist. They have the Mass. They have it every day. They have it every hour. Seventh-day Adventists take it 4 times a year. Some drink it with water. Those are the Mormons. And leavened bread. It's supposed to be unleavened bread and wine. So, one other thing that's important to understand, which is this, concerning how important that the Passover is. Now, the Jews could keep a 14th Passover when they were in the land. But if they were out of the land, they couldn't keep the 14th Passover. So they just kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, rather than admit their sins, that we have been scattered into the whole world because of our sins, with the exception of a Karaite rabbi who wrote that, he said, we're scattered across the face of the earth because we followed in the footsteps of our fathers and their sins. Therefore, we do nothing on the 14th day. Now, think of that. Jews come along and say, oh, you Christians are wrong. You have to keep it on the 15th because we do. Jesus commanded us to do it as he taught us, right? And he kept it on the 14th, the proper day. That's the day we're to keep it on. All right. Now think about this concerning the proper day versus the improper day. How doing things correctly leads you to understanding and how doing things incorrectly leads you to no understanding. For Judaism today, they keep a 15th Passover, which should be the night to be much observed. They do not recognize Christ, so they're not in covenant with God, Old Testament or New Testament. They keep the Passover on the wrong day because they are in the diaspora or exile. Now, they add an extra day to the Feast of Unleavened Bread for the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So they have that wrong. Then they count Pentecost wrong. So I want you to think on this now. Here's why Judaism cannot accept Jesus Christ. They keep the Passover of the exile on the 15th. That's not the Passover day. They have added a day to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so they do not know the correct day. They count to Pentecost incorrectly and end up, I think it is 8 out of 10 years, on the wrong day. Therefore, they're blinded. Now I want you to think about something else again here. This goes to number 4 again, okay? Counting the Passover, is that a feast of God? Yes, it is. He says it's a feast. Okay, that's one. Then there are 2 days of holy days in unleavened bread, correct? That's 3. What's the next holy day? Pentecost. That's 4. Okay? So you see, just exactly, we keep these 4, and that also coincides with the 4th day when Jesus ascended to start to count to Pentecost. So you see how number 4 comes through everything, but just like anything else, it's all got to be counted the right way on the right calendar. And the only way we understand it is through the Word of God and the calendar of God and believing the words of Jesus. So everything fits into the scheme of the calculated Hebrew calendar and the numbers that God has in the Bible. And just wait till you get this new book. You'll get it automatically if you're on the list. And you're going to see how the 70-week prophecy and the calendar and everything ties all together. It's going to be an amazing book because it ties all the appointed times of the Messiah together, taking things we have done before and putting it all together so we get a complete picture. But isn't that something? So number four is identified with the Passover, with Christ, with the resurrection, his ascension, and it's identified with us coming to Pentecost. So if I lost you, listen again.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.